And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And what does that term mean, quickened? It means to be resurrected. It means to be revived. It means to have new life within us. And David is praying here then, Lord, quicken thou me in the way. Give me that new life. Give me that reviving spirit. Stir my heart. And this prayer reveals something to us that we need to be revived. Why? Because we fall into spiritual sloth. Because our eyes can be inclined to behold vanity. And our eyes can be turned away from that which matters spiritually.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we seek to bring the Word of God to your soul. We do invite you to continue listening to us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Our broadcast, Let the Bible Speak, is a ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church in Surrey, B.C. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the evening. We give you and your family a warm invitation to come and to worship with us. Laziness is something that affects society. We see it every day, whether that is in our families or in the place of employment, or maybe just we ourselves. There are times that we are quite lazy. When we think of our spiritual lives and our walk with God, it is a walk that demands our attention and our diligence. We should not be lazy Christians. But yet Satan seeks to hinder our walk with God. He seeks to hinder our spiritual usefulness. He seeks to hinder our diligence in spiritual duties. We are, as the people of God, to attend the house of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as the book of Hebrews tells us, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are not to forsake prayer. We are not to forsake the reading and study of the Word of God. All of these things are important and vital to our spiritual growth. But yet, laziness can come upon us. And we're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider a message simply entitled, Dealing with Spiritual Slothfulness, or Dealing with Spiritual Laziness. And may the Lord be pleased to use this message to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to direct you to be a diligent Christian, and by God's grace to avoid spiritual slothfulness. May the Lord be pleased to use His word and to bless His precious truth to your soul.
The disciples at Gethsemane, what did they do? They did not watch and pray with the Savior. They fell asleep. Spiritual sloth had entered in. And there is a great danger of spiritual sloth. It is a reality. It is something that many will think it's not it's harmless. It's harmless to miss. It's harmless to miss a service. It's harmless to miss reading the Word of God. But it is a gateway, it is a path to greater spiritual sloth. And one of the great dangers is that it can feel safe. You can think all is okay. Well, I'll neglect church today. I'll neglect reading today. I'll neglect praying today. I'll pick it up again tomorrow. And it feels safe. But tomorrow or the next day, the same thing happens and it continues and continues. There is a great danger. Sloth and true faith in Christ cannot coexist. Your desire and love for the Savior cannot coexist with your sloth. And this is why the psalmist then prays, Lord, quicken me. Quicken thou me in the way. Spiritual sloth blinds us to vanity, to emptiness. It dulls our appetite for God. It gives sin the upper hand. It leads to spiritual forgetfulness. Amos said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. There are many who are comfortable in the Christian life, but sloth has entered in. And dear believer, is this sloth found within your life, within aspects of your Christian life? Oh, that you would cry out, Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Let me focus on what is important and what is vital. Lord, quicken thou me in the way. This is not a passive problem. This is something that is an act of danger in our Christian lives. But secondly, I want you to see combating spiritual sloth. Combating spiritual sloth. David says, quicken thou me in the way. And this word quicken is similar to Ephesians 2 verse 1, same English word, but the Greek means the same as Hebrew. To give life, to revive. This Hebrew word is used 274 times in the Old Testament. In the King James Version, it's translated as live 110 times. I have the references here, but we won't go through all 110 tonight. Lived, alive, deceived, quickened 12 times. In the Psalms, it's used as quicken. Life, 9 times. Revive, 8 times. All these English words by which this Hebrew word is translated. Saved, recover, preserve, restore, revive, lives, quickened, recovered, nourished, preserved, promised, repaired. All of these words, that what do? They emphasize the vigor of the spiritual life, the quickening, the giving of life, not the taking away of life that sloth does, but it is the quickening of this spiritual life. And this is what we desire. This is what we need to do. We need to desire God to quicken our hearts. And we must have life if we are to live for God. We must have life if we are to serve God. We are hindered in the service of God. We are hindered in bringing glory to God if spiritual sloth has entered in. Spurgeon said, I invite each one of you personally to offer this prayer. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. It is the preacher's prayer. He says it is suitable for those who are workers for Christ. He applies it to many, many people. It is the prayer of the Christian when he gets into the struggles of life and the poisonous damps of the world. And the prayer of the Christian when he is about to die is still, quicken me, O Lord. Quicken thou me in the way. O life of life, be life to me. O Spirit of God, breathe into me power, vigor, force, energy. Give me all these, he said, by giving me yourself to be my life. And dear believer, if we desire to live for God, we need to be quickened. If we desire to stand against that sloth that can enter in and enter in so easily, we need to combat it. And how do we do that? We are to be quickened. We're to recognize the battle that is going on, the battle for our eyes, the battle for our desires, and we are to guard ourselves. We should think of our eyes as a gate going into the great city. And there in ancient times, as the enemy approached, what did they do? Not only ancient times, but back in Northern Ireland, where I come from, in the 1600s, King James II and his army approached the city of Derry, or Londonderry. If you ever go to Northern Ireland, Be careful how you refer to the city of Londonderry. If you say to somebody from one part of the community, "Can you tell me the way to Derry?" They may turn round and say, "There's no such place." There was a visitor, probably from America, went to Northern Ireland, and they asked someone who was a Protestant for a ticket to Derry, and they replied, "There's no such place." And so it is just because of the division in the community and the division in the name of the city, Londonderry, meaning the connection they have with the United Kingdom. And so officially Londonderry or Derry, we all know that it is the same place. And as the enemy approached that city, there were walls around the city. You can still go and visit that city, visit those walls, walk on those walls. And as the army approached, there were some within the city, apprentice boys, who saw the danger. And what did they do against what seemed to be the understanding of those in authority? They went and they closed the gates. And that meant that the enemy could not come into the city. It led to the siege of Derry that was broken when one ship broke through a barrier that was on the river bringing supplies into the city. A great siege went on, but the gates were closed. And dear believer, when you see vanity, when you see emptiness, when you see sin, how do we guard against spiritual sloth? We guard the eye gate. We close it. By the grace of God, we close it to those who are influencing us against sin. We close it to those things that will capture our attention and our affections. We close it to the things of this world. Lamentations 3 tells us, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Mine eye affecteth mine heart, and how true that is. And the psalmist prays, "Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Close my eyes." We are to guard our eyes. We're not to make peace with things that will lull our soul to sleep, to distract us, to steal our spiritual appetite. We're to guard our eyes. We're to guard all of our senses. We're to call upon God to be quickened. "Quicken thou me in the way." And here is the heart of this verse and what we're considering. Only the God of heaven can quicken a slothful heart. It's not broken by our strength. It's not broken by what we can do. It's not broken by willpower. It is broken by the Spirit of God. The Lord said to the dry bones, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." And we cannot escape that sloth unless the Lord deals with it. Where does this quickening come from? From the Word of God. The psalmist said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Scripture is that instrument used by God. He uses the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. We're to pray. The psalmist prayed, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Oh, dear believer, when you feel dry and sluggish and slothful, pray for the Lord to stir up your heart, to not be satisfied with going through the motions. You're to return to the Lord with that renewed resolve to return unto His way. "Quicken thou me in thy way," the psalmist said. And sloth is overcome by returning to the path of obedience. When the soul is revived, the path of obedience must be walked. Jeremiah 6 verse 16 tells us, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And one who is revived out of sloth seeks the Lord with that renewed devotion. Neglected duties have been restored. Prayer and Bible study and coming to the house of God. God's way is His way. Proverbs 12:28 tells us, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." We're to use the means of grace. Why are the means of grace so important? Prayer and the reading of the Word, the preaching of the Word, the sacraments. These are not rituals or formalities. They're the instruments that God uses. One of the Puritans said, the means of grace are like the conduit pipes through which God conveys His grace to the soul. If you desire water from your hot water tank, what do? Take the top off the tank and put a cup in and away you go? No, you turn on the tap. And what happens? The pipe, I'm not a plumber, I don't know, but I turn on the tap and the water comes down the pipe somehow. And you have hot water in your sink. You have hot water to wash your hands. You have what you need. What is that pipe? It is that conduit by which the hot water is conveyed from its source to your need. And the means of grace convey that which we need from God, from that great source, to supply our need. And the believer cannot thrive without the word and prayer and the fellowship of the church of God. The soul, one Puritan said, must be fed by the word or it will faint. God's people are not only alive by grace, but they must live by feeding upon grace in the ordinances. The means of grace are a safeguard against spiritual sloth. Placing yourself under the means of grace constantly. Constantly. Oh, dear believer, when we think of combating sloth, cut off the vanity. Remove the vanity from your eyes. Confess your coldness to God. Pray that He would quicken your heart. Open His Word. Embrace the means of grace. Recommit to the Lord. Oh, may this be your prayer, that you would be quickened in the way. And then, thirdly and finally, conquering spiritual sloth. Conquering spiritual sloth. What happens when we conquer spiritual sloth? Well, we bear fruit. There is spiritual fruit. There is a life that is transformed. There's fruit, fruit in obedience, fruit in serving God. The believer who is not slothful is a fruitful believer. We can think of the blessed man in Psalm 1. We'll turn back to the very first Psalm. What are we reminded of here? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. How blessed that is. Is that your desire tonight, to be like the blessed man, to love the Lord, to love His Word, to be like that fruitful tree? The blessed man is a man who has conquered spiritual sloth. But this psalm, Psalm 1, reminds us and contrasts the ungodly man. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Tonight, are you numbered among the ungodly? Because you have not turned from sin, you've not repented. Spiritual sloth doesn't mean much to you because there is nothing spiritual. Because you're still in your sins, because you've never turned from God, from sin to God. We're reminded then the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. That means they will not succeed in the judgment. They cannot stand against God in the judgment. They'll be there, they'll appear, but they will not stand. And they will not succeed. Sinners will not be in the congregation of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, that you would turn from your sin unto the God of heaven, the God that gives life to the slothful believer, gives life to those who are dead in their sins. The Lord can quicken those who are dead in their sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Oh, that you would turn from sin unto the God of heaven. But dear believer, the slothful man is a man who lives like he is an ungodly man. His way, that way of slothfulness, is, we could say, the opposite to sanctification. Sanctification changing us to be more and more like Christ. Whereas slothfulness changes us to be more and more like the old sinful person we once were. Oh, that we would flee it and take seriously the things of God. When we conquer spiritual sloth, it brings joy and delight, does it not? The psalmist said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." He rejoiced in the things of God. Do you truly rejoice and have a spiritual joy and delight in Christ and in His Word and in the Savior who died for you? That joy and delight is a sign that your heart is right with God. Is there that zeal and passion for the service of God? And that desire to live for Him, that growth in spiritual understanding? The psalmist said, "Give me understanding and I shall keep Thy law." The quickened believer desires to follow the Lord in all these things, to endure. Oh, tonight, all of these things, more prayer, less neglect, more reading of God's Word and less distraction, more zeal for worship, less spiritual apathy, more service for the Lord and less time for our selfish selves, shows a change in a lifestyle. It shows a change in our hearts. Spiritual sloth is something that is a deadly enemy. Oh, that we would consider the prayer of David. As we come to the Lord's table tonight, is that description of a spiritual sloth hanging over your life? If your true nature, the true nature of your heart was made known to us, and the Lord knows it. We don't need to know. The Lord knows. But if it were made known to us, would you be embarrassed? We all have our feelings. We all have our flaws. We seek the Lord to give us strength day by day to live for Him. But would the title of spiritual sloth be sounded out to describe you? It's a sad thing. It's a sorrowful thing. Oh, that you would be able to say, "I've been quickened by the Lord. My focus, my desire in life is upon Him and upon Him alone." I prayed the prayer of David, "Quicken Thou me in the way. My spiritual life is of the utmost importance, because when I look at my Savior, He is the one who went to Calvary's cross. He's the one who died for my sin. He's the one who shed His blood. Oh Christ, when He went to Calvary's cross, He was the perfect Son of God. There was no slothfulness. There was no laziness, even to use those terms. The Savior went willingly. He laid down His life. He is the perfect Redeemer, the perfect example." Oh, you can go through the life of Christ in the New Testament and there's no example of sloth. And dear believer, we're to imitate our Savior. We're to love Him with all of our hearts. And we're not to be believers, Christians, who are slothful. May the Lord challenge our hearts. May the Lord work within us. And dear believer, if it is that the seeds of slothfulness have been sown, oh, our God is able and ready to deliver, to change, to quicken you. How encouraging that is, that your heart can be changed from one that is slothful to one that is on fire for the Lord. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. For you.
Today's Spurgeon devotional is taken from Exodus chapter 25, verse 6, "Oil for the light." My soul, how much thou needest this, for thy lamp will not long continue to burn without it. Thy snuff will smoke and become an offence if light be gone, and gone it will be if oil be absent. Thou hast no oil well springing up in thy human nature, and therefore thou must go to them that sell and buy for thyself. Or like the foolish virgins, thou wilt have to cry, My lamp is gone out. Even the consecrated lamps could not give light without oil. Though they shone in the tabernacle, they needed to be fed. Though no rough winds blew upon them, they required to be trimmed. And thy need is equally as great. Under the most happy circumstances, thou canst not give light for another hour, unless fresh oil of grace be given thee. It was not every oil that might be used in the Lord's service, neither the petroleum which exudes so plentifully from the earth, nor the produce of fishes, nor that extracted from nuts would be accepted. One oil only was selected, and that the best olive oil. Pretended grace from natural goodness, fancied grace from priestly hands, or imaginary grace from outward ceremonies, will never serve the true saint of God. He knows that the Lord would not be pleased with rivers of such oil. He goes to the olive press of Gethsemane and draws his supplies from him who was crushed therein. The oil of gospel grace is pure and free from lees and dregs, and hence the light which is fed thereon is clear and bright. Our churches are the Saviour's golden candelabra, and if they are to be lights in this dark world, they must have much holy oil. Let us pray for ourselves, our ministers, and our churches, that they may never lack oil for the light. Truth, holiness, joy, knowledge, love. These are all beams of the sacred light, but we cannot give them forth unless in private we receive oil from God, the Holy Ghost. We come to the end of our program today, and we thank you for joining with us. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we trust that the Word of God has been a blessing to your heart and to your soul today. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.